Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
One of those things, a couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in that.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
You can't say Randy without saying Andy. It's the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. The Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Oh, good. Andy Bunker, glad to have you back in the saddle.
Good to be back.
Yeah.
Good to be back in a different type of saddle.
Hell,
you know what I mean?
You know, when you're making love to the porcelain of God all night, it ain't no fun, man.
No, it
ain't no fun, man, unless you had fun previously how you in that
right.
position.
At least earn it.
At least
you know
earn
what I mean?
the love making to the porcelain, you know, the porcelain throne. But glad to have you back. Glad that you're feeling better and everything, as you were saying. We were talking about the Cork and Kale thing and Rusty, and I know Bo, your game is Thursday night, right?
Yeah.
That is correct.
Okay, Bo.
West Forsyth, Prince Avenue Christian,
yeah.
Right? Yeah,
awesome. At West Forsyth.
Okay, great.
Okay. All right, so, I mean, yeah, it's high school football. So I heard a little bit of Sam. That, you know, he's getting ready for the high school show on Friday night, so that's always great. You realize college football is, like, right there.
Less than 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's, like, right there that we'll be seeing.
They're about to be going to Ireland.
They're going to Ireland.
Soon.
Tech versus the Fighting Irish, who a lot of people heard this morning. Florida State. I'm sorry. Yeah. I had Notre Dame on the brain some reason.
Because it's in Ireland.
No, because of that. Because I kept hearing all this hype about this Notre Dame. Like, yeah, I mean, because they got all these defenders back and all this other stuff. So it was on my mind or everything like that. But, yeah, Florida State, who I do think is overrated for some reason. I don't trust DJU. Don't know what they got bringing back and all those different things. And Georgia Tech, who I think Tech's going to – I don't think Tech's going to win. But I think they're going to take their pound of flesh.
Oh, I think – I don't know.
I
think it's going to be a good game.
I think Tech's
going to be surprised if they do.
I won't be surprised if Tech won.
I think Tech – I don't know. Like, the more you read on it and the more you get ready, and I don't know. I know we're here, so the hype is going to build anyway.
Right.
But I don't know. There's a lot of folks nationally that are believing in what Georgia Tech can be this year. I love it. I mean, I like their coach.
I like their coach as a coach.
Like their quarterback.
He's a little techie, but the dude can flat-out coach.
Yeah.
He believes in toughness.
Sure.
And he has a quarterback.
Yeah, he does.
And so, yeah, I think Tech gonna take their pound of flesh.
I saw that their first five games Georgia Tech plays, and this doesn't necessarily mean as much as it might have meant 10 years ago or something like that, but the first five games Tech plays, they're playing against quarterbacks that did not take a single snap on the roster that they're playing for this year last year.
Really?
All brand new quarterbacks. Now, again, what does that really mean? Not much. Right. It's the transfer portal era.
Right.
I think five of the top 10 teams in the AP top 10 have a new quarterback. You know what I mean? So just because you have a new quarterback transferring in doesn't mean that you can't be good. A lot of teams do.
And DJ used to play a lot of football. Don't get me wrong. He's played a whole lot of football.
Yeah, but Georgia Tech does have the same quarterback back. And Haynes King was really good last year and came on as the season
and
went.
And he has it in the second year with the same coordinator.
Exactly. See, I think that matters. I think you minimize the transfer stuff a little bit just because of how prominent it is right now in college football. But I think what you really see is when you have a guy who's been there, because Haynes King was a transfer when he got there too, came from Texas A&M and all that, but now he's in his second year with the same system. That's when it really starts to show up. Like that's what you see. You start looking at teams, and I'm not trying to get too far out ahead of myself with this, but this is just true. You start seeing teams that go to the college football playoff and teams that compete for the national championship. A lot of times that's the situation that they're in. Last year, Penix at Washington in his second year at Washington did all that great stuff. Stetson Bennett obviously had been there for a long time, but the second year, well, I guess they went back to back, but Carson Beck this year for the second year. That's why everyone's so hyped on that. Like, I just feel like there is still, even in this era of everyone moving all the time, no one staying put.
Consistency matters.
It does matter.
Yes.
Familiarity and consistency does matter. And I think that's a big deal for them. Tech also just got a commitment from their biggest recruit ever.
I didn't really,
outside of Calvin,
yeah. This kid, and he's a big, and he's right up Coach Keyswell House, a big physical offensive lineman, and that's where you win in this league. That's where you build the depth and everything like that. So, yeah, for him to be able to get that, because it's easier for him to recruit, because Georgia Tech has gotten dudes before. They've gotten dudes, but the system that Coach Johnson ran, it just limited these kids coming in here. Now you have a pro-style system that's going to put guys in the NFL, and as we always have damn said, it's in the heart of damn Atlanta, all right? And, you know, academic requirement, again, I know my boys that got in there, all right? Okay.
What are you trying to say about these guys?
I know my partners that got in there, right?
Yeah, and your buddies are really smart.
Okay.
They're geniuses.
Okay. But, I mean, they have an opportunity. He has an opportunity to build some momentum. And I think that in first game of the year, too.
Yeah. That would go a long way.
First game of the year.
Because it's the only game on, right? I mean, it's a prime time. Game day is in Ireland.
Yeah,
you're
man.
Playing Florida State. Florida State, I know there's really, I mean, some people are back, of course, but like the biggest name guys from last year aren't back. But they've got that perceived chip on their shoulder because of being let, and they should, because they were 13-0, got left out of the playoff.
Right.
If anything's going to put a chip on your shoulder, that might be it. Didn't put a big enough chip on their shoulder for them to try in the bowl game, but that's neither here nor there. So that's there too. You know what I mean? Like they've got to back that up or at least validate that from last year. That would be momentous.
It'd be solid
if Georgia Tech was able to go over there and win that football.
It'd be solid.
Game.
It'd be real solid, man. But as we were just talking because of you were out yesterday. We had an opportunity to talk to Jesse Bates. Great conversation with him yesterday, and talking about the chess match that him and Kirk play together. I called him Undercutting Jesse, like we always like to call him.
How did he feel about that?
He's like, well, yeah. He says, if I see the opportunity, I'm gonna take it.
Nah, jump it.
Yeah, I'm gonna jump it. I'm gonna jump it.
Did he sound like a guy who's about to have a new running mate at safety?
It was crazy because at the end of the conversation, the post that came up, so I had my iPad out, and I told him to come here for a second, and I showed it to him. He just gave me a little smirk and a little nod, and went on about his business and everything. And you're talking about a possibility of getting Justin Simmons in here, who is a all-pro safety at Denver for all those years. And my only thing I said is yesterday, and I mean, it's semantics, whatever. They're kind of the same player.
They're similar players.
Yeah, they're similar
for sure.
Players. They're both middle
for sure
field safeties
players.
And all those different things like that. So I'm not saying they can't play in the box if you need them in there, but I'm just saying they're both similar damn players. But they play a lot of football. Maybe they can adjust off of it and everything like that. But, I mean, he's a damn good player.
Why is he not on a team? That's my question.
Well, I think there's always situations where you try to wait for the right fit. You try to wait till out of the training camp. You obviously, your price goes down.
Obviously.
You know,
I would have to.
Your price goes down.
Because he's just coming off of a $60 million contract.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Your price goes down. I mean, there's always certain things why guys wait this long.
Denver has a bad situation, so they had to move on from a variety of
different
guys.
And I'm sure I probably know because he's such a good player that this ain't like the first time he's interacted and talked to teams.
No.
You know, it's been going on probably since free agency and he probably just sitting back and waiting for the right situation to fall into.
I'll be honest with you. When I saw his name pop up yesterday as visiting with the Falcons, I know it's going to be a two-day thing.
Right.
First day was yesterday, and then today they have no practice. So I guess team meetings, whatever, he'll have a chance to meet with whoever he needs to meet with and talk with them. And obviously his agent needs to meet with Terry Fontenot, most importantly. Mm-hmm. Terry Fontenot needs to make some space also. Yeah. Like, if you're going to, unless he's willing to come in for way less than he's made in the past, but like.
Oh, he's going to have to come in for way less than he's made.
Yeah, but not as little as they got.
Yeah, no, like, no. But I mean, you could find money.
I know you can.
You could find money.
I know you can, but that's what I mean, though.
Yeah.
Terry Fontenot would have to find that money.
Yeah, yeah.
And finding money means getting somebody to restructure their contract or maybe cutting a guy or whatever. But like, as it stands right now, they got about $3 million.
Right.
You're not getting him for that.
No.
Right?
You're going to have to
That's not going to be 15.
You're going to have to go probably six,
yeah,
seven,
something like that.
Yeah,
and maybe it's a two-year contract and you can backload it or whatever. Like, again, there's a lot of creative ways you could do it.
Right.
But I think you'd probably, there'd have to be a corresponding move. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So that would mean again, that's Terry Fontenot being able to show, again, an ability to navigate this sort of thing. Again, I don't know. The interest has to be there from both sides, obviously, to make it happen. But this is when we talked to Terry Fontenot a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, what's your busiest time of year? And he's like, I don't know. It's always pretty busy.
Right.
Like, even now.
Yeah.
Because you play a football game, even though it's a football game that doesn't particularly matter, the injuries do.
Yep.
The injuries that happened in the football game on Friday night
are a
very big deal and hit him in, like, the worst spots to be hit. I mean, again, no injuries are good at any time, whether it's in the regular season, preseason, or whatever. Blew into that game on Friday night, not knowing who was going to rush the passer anyway, and then your third-round draft pick gets hurt before halftime. We talked about their secondary, and one of the guys, I know he wasn't maybe going to be the starter, but one of the guys you were expecting at least some production from this year in the secondary gets hurt on the first drive.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, not a good – and one of your wide receivers gets hurt in –
practice.
They're glad to get out of Miami.
Hell yeah.
Tell you that.
I mean, this kid, you know, he went down there, came down there sick. You know, I'm talking about tries. Went down there sick.
Yeah, got sick.
Got sick. Had a nice
practice.
Missed practice. The next practice, say, was pretty good, and then getting the game, and, you know, just.
Now he's out.
And I think that, you know, it's always, and we've talked a lot about it, was, you know, the whole preseason thing. Well, they come out rested. They should have played in preseason. But if they get hurt, why are they playing in preseason? You know, you can never, and I'm always like, I don't know. It's football, man. You're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
You're going to get hurt.
And there's really no good time to get hurt.
There's not.
I mean, I guess, like, making the game-winning touchdown catch in the Super Bowl, if you got hurt doing that, that's better than on the first drive of preseason.
Right.
If you're weighing things. But nobody wants to get hurt ever, and you certainly don't get to choose when you get hurt. But, yeah, no, this positions of already need, I think, for the Falcons got much needier on Friday night. We've got Justin Simmons in there today. I don't know. Maybe they're interested in an edge rusher as well. There's a couple guys available. Well, I guess one guy available. New York said the other guy's not. I guess Reddick's not.
Oh, no.
We expect you to show up.
Yeah. Hey, man. This dude has lost over $1 million.
Yeah.
You're not making that back up.
Yeah.
All right? Because they're not going to give you your million back.
No, they can't do that anymore.
No.
They can't do that anymore. Hey, this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We'll come back, tell you what's trending, including hell of a pitcher's duel last night, if you stayed up to watch it. And the Braves even won. It was like a great Chris Sale start, and the Braves even decided to win it. That was really nice of them. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Ladies and gentlemen,
time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Is your heating and cooling system aging? Reliable's got you covered for just $29.99 a month. No deductibles or service fees, just coverage. Call to find out more.
He got him. Snell in Sale, toe-to-toe, blow-for-blow, strikeout for strikeout. Each of them with 10 tonight. Yes, there's 11 for Chris Sale. For strikeout 1-2. He's got it. Season high, 12 strikeouts for Chris Sale.
We all knew yesterday was a tough one. We had to get over that one quick. And coming in here, obviously we needed to win this one. So, you know, obviously it was a grind from the start. I mean, Snell's, you know, that's about as good as you're going to see out there. So just to be able to grind through that and overcome that, that was big time. And that kind of shows what this group is about. And, being able to do that after a tough night and, you know, the start to a tough night tonight was impressive.
Hell yeah. No, Chris Hill. Unbelievable last night. Although it's not unbelievable because that's kind of what he's been throughout this year. But they needed it as much as a team on August 12th can need a game. This is the way things are going. I saw folks on Braves Twitter referring to what the Braves had been doing as the rock bottom challenge.
Okay.
Like every time you thought they had hit rock bottom, they were like, nope, actually watch this. Because 8-2 on Sunday against the Rockies and then blowing that game the way that they did certainly felt like it. I'll say this. If they would have blown the game yesterday and the only runs that would have been scored would have been on that pop fly that was dropped to start the game, wasn't even dropped, didn't even touch it, that would have been a new rock bottom, maybe, the way that Sunday went. But again, that was honestly like the most impressive part of Chris Sale's start yesterday was the fact that there was runners on first and third after two batters. And Sale hadn't thrown a bad pitch yet.
Mm-mm.
And there should have been two outs. Because the center fielder that's out there, I understand why he's out there.
Yes. And
as soon as tomorrow comes, he won't be out there
anymore. I got a question, Greg. Okay, because Mike will be back tomorrow.
Why
can't Mike come today?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? That's what I think about.
I know, Abe.
We know, Abe. We know Abe. Okay? It was just having fun with it, Abe. We know. We know.
Because the rules state the 60.
Yes, Abe, we know. Damn, we could wait. But I think, you know, the funniest thing, Andy, we were talking about this, the outfield, and we were talking about Soler, and I said, as long as he doesn't have to move and the ball comes to him, good. So the last damn out of this game, the ball's coming to him, and he's having to run up. I'm like, oh God,
here we go.
Oh, yeah.
But he got it done.
Yeah, he got it done. I think I might have woke people up this morning because I had to watch it this morning because there was no way I was going to make that game last night. But I was like, that was the only thing. I was like, so as long as he don't got to move lateral or too far, too fast forward or too fast backward, just stand there.
He's pretty good forward. Okay, forward. No, he's not good forward.
Mm-mm-mm.
He's terrible back.
Oh, no doubt about
that. He's terrible back.
No doubt about that.
Laureano, that dude, when he's got to go forward, he overruns fly balls in a way that you just don't often see a major leaguer overrun fly balls.
Yeah, man.
Like, that was, I don't know. When that happened, to start the game, I just, because, you know, it's the first batter. Like, I realized the Braves were up first, but it was the first batter that the Giants had. And it's just like, are you kidding me? Like, is this just what this is? And they're the worst outfield in baseball right now, defensively and offensively. Thank God Soler is hitting, though. His bat has been incredible since they got him, which is why they got him.
Right.
I don't know. I've had brief thoughts of, I mean, Ozuna can't be that bad. As much as we joke about Ozuna and make fun of him in the outfield, and it is funny.
No, we're not going to go there. Because as much as y'all laugh at me when I said that last week, I was like, he can't be that much bad. He's that much worse than Ozuna.
I wasn't there yet.
Outside of the clip of Ozuna jumping the wall.
3-2 pitch.
What do we have, really?
And a fly ball. Arm. Deep left.
Can
Ozuna back scales the wall.
Okay.
And it drops.
You know, you're not going to catch the ball anyway. Marcel.
It was windy.
The fence.
It was windy.
And then the ball bounces.
It was windy.
It was windy.
The middle of the warning track.
I don't know. There's just been a couple different ones where I've been like, all right, you got to give him a shot. You got to try it out. I don't know. You might have to. But anyway, Michael Harris will be back tomorrow.
Yes.
Now, they do have a game today.
They do.
Which means one more day of the worst defensive outfield that we've maybe ever seen.
Yes.
And then tomorrow, thank God, you get Michael Harris back, knock on wood, hopefully for the remainder of the season. Hopefully he can stay healthy. Obviously, you're hoping he can contribute at the plate as well. But if nothing else, he's going to be able to stabilize things out there. Play center field, which is the most important outfield position. And then you can get guys back in their natural positions or more natural positions.
Where's Soler's natural position? DH.
Yeah.
Damn, man.
Yeah. We got two DHs.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like,
can you do that? Come on. We got the pitcher out of there after a while. Maybe now we could get two DHs in there.
I don't know, man. I just tried to figure it out because I think it's it. I don't know if Marcel's any worse than that. All right, but Marcel, I mean, that might take some of his pop out of his bat if he has, you know, play in the field. He'd be tired and everything, you know, like he was rounding them bases. I'm like, come on, Marcel, don't get called.
Well, yeah, when he broke up the no-hitter yesterday, he hesitated going into second. Yeah. I was like, oh, no.
No.
Oh, no, he's going to get gunned, and luckily it wasn't a very good throw, so he didn't. But the Braves won. They needed it. Desperately, desperately needed it. Charlie Morton's on the mound today. Boy, was it bad last time he was out
there.
Come on,
Charlie.
So hopefully Charlie can get you another one today and just, like, slowly steady this thing.
How many home runs he gave up last game?
Four of them.
Okay, yeah.
Four homers.
Come on, Charlie.
Yeah, it's not a hitter's park there in San Francisco, so it's more of pitcher-friendly.
They weren't really chasing anything.
Damn sure didn't, Charlie. They were chasing bases.
Yeah, they were. Fans were chasing home run balls.
Chasing home run balls. Yeah, that's what they were doing last time, Charlie.
Anyway, Braves win. That's all that matters. The Braves win. Let's hear Raheem Morris talking about Michael Penix's performance from Friday night.
Really the same night after the game. It was pretty clean-cut evaluation on what he can do, the plays that he made the mistakes on. Him coming back self-admit, he looked the wrong way in one play and got right to his checkdown, which is really good for a rookie to do that stuff and be able to tell us that really clean and that kind of flow. The one protection he could have changed, he didn't flip or still got the ball off with good tempo to Carlos, but if he changes it, they have a little more time to get that on spot. But I was really fired up about his overall operation, his demeanor, his ability to see what he saw on the grass when he comes off the grass and able to talk to you about what happened, exactly what happened, you know, how it went down. The game was a little bit slower for him, which you like. And that stuff is always good when you have those type of things.
It pretty much looked like Michael Penix to me. There was a couple overthrows in there, like we said that there would be.
Right.
We kind of knew there'd be some amped up, maybe nerves, maybe excitement on some of those throws. Some absolute dimes, not surprisingly. That throw to Chris Blair is a play that I've seen him complete 1,000 times
right.
at UW the last couple of years. It just normally was Roma Dunze or Jalen McMillan.
Where's Jalen McMillan at?
Tampa. Yeah, okay. It sounds like he's doing really well.
Okay.
And, you know, honestly, if he had probably real ones and twos at wide receiver, a couple of those incompletions probably would have been catches.
Possible, yeah.
But, yeah, by and large, first preseason start, I thought, looked good.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the stuff that Rob pointed out was all those things that with experience
yep.
that you can
yep.
learn from in those things. And you talk about the changing of the play as far as with the opposite run or whatever that play was. I mean, now he knows, you know. And so, I mean, but those are the things about it. But the one thing that I came away from the game is that he's ready. Like, if he had to start for them now, he could. Now, I'm not saying it would be lights out or anything like that, but he knows the operations. And I said this yesterday, Bunk, my favorite play was when he went through his progression and came back to the backside dig. And it was just one of those things where as a young player, you're like, okay.
Who was that?
The backyard post. I don't know who it was. I don't know. He threw it to somebody.
Guy that might not be on the team.
Guy not on the team. But I just thought that was just such a nice play by him being able to get through his progression and everything. But he's going to get better with the more experience that he does, and he's going to get a lot of experience.
I was thinking
preseason.
About it from the standpoint of, if Kirk Cousins didn't exist, like if that was Michael Penix's preseason debut as the presumed starter of mm-hmm. the Falcons this year,
right.
How would you have felt about it? You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it's easy to look at it and be like, damn, if that's your backup quarterback mm-hmm. and he's got all this time to learn mm-hmm. and he's going to be able to do all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. If that was what J.J. McCarthy did for the Vikings mm-hmm. or if that's what Caleb Williams did for the Bears in situations where they're probably going to start, would you feel differently about it?
Because,
like, he'll be ready if he has to play. It's different than he's going to be ready to win
week
one.
Because of the competition we played against. Now, if this is against the ones, you know, with, like you said earlier, with his ones in it, and he had a performance like this.
There was a couple throws that absolutely would have been big throws
like,
if he would have had
then you're like, okay,
Drake London in there or someone else.
Then you're like, okay, let's do this. This same thing with JJ. JJ was going against backups and everything, mm-hmm. too. He looked good doing it. You know, and then you go to Caleb. Caleb was going against the starting defense for the Buffalo. Did really well.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Daniels, I didn't see a lot of the Jet starters out there, but, I mean, he did well. So, I mean, but I would feel comfortable enough to say that if he continues to progress like this, he'll still have rookie moments like all rookie quarterbacks have.
Yeah.
But he'll be like, you'll look at him like, okay, it's not too much for him. And I think that's the biggest thing what you want when you look at a rookie quarterback who is going to start for you.
Right.
You live with those mistakes because you're like, oh, he's rookie.
Well, he's got to make them.
He's got to make them.
He's got to make them to learn from them.
But it's like, okay, but did I see him all the little things, operating the huddle, getting the plays, getting us in the right position, snap count, all of it. Then I see him do that enough that if we continue to get him reps, it's going to get better and better and better. Yeah, I think that about
Yeah, it's such a nice luxury to look at it the way that we get to look at it this year, which is that looked really good, especially for a guy that's not going to have to get thrown into it week one. If he was to have to get thrown into it week one, probably still feel good about it, but maybe analyze it slightly differently. Georgia number one in the AP poll. Not surprising.
No.
Pretty much expected that one. Ohio State number two got a lot of votes, and as well they should have. Yeah. Oregon got a vote again. I don't know from who. And then Texas.
Phil Knight bought that vote.
Yeah,
Phil Knight bought that vote.
That money will get you.
Yeah.
And then that rounds out the top five with Texas, Alabama, and then Ole Miss six. Georgia plays at number four, at number five, at number six this season, which is phenomenal. Yeah. And number two plays at number three, Ohio State at Oregon.
Yeah, man, the craziest one was the damn Florida schedule in November, dog. I was like, goodness gracious, they play for I think four of the top 13 teams preseason, and it's no bye in between.
Ooh.
Yeah, then you go from Georgia to Texas to LSU to Florida State, I think it is, something like that. When you look at where Florida is, yeah, I mean it's
Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, Florida State.
Yeah, it's going to be different. It's going to be different with the new conference, you know, East and West and all those different things. Then you got Texas coming into the SEC. So yeah, it's going to be a barn burner. But I'll just say it like this: hell, you got Georgia coming to your city. You know, you got Georgia's coming to play y'all, and so it's going to be It's going to be a fun season, but it's going to be a challenging season for Georgia because of the schedule. They're playing some top-tier teams. They're playing teams with talent like they have, you know, and it's going to be one of those things where it's not going to be a 30-point game. It's going to be a fourth-quarter game that's going to come down to who doesn't make the mistake slash. I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. And can Georgia, and I'm still kind of not worried, but still unknown about what their bread and butter is, their defensive line. What is it going to be this year? Because if it's where it's supposed to be, whatever. As good as Texas' offensive line is, as great as Alabama's offensive line is, don't matter. If that group right there.
Yeah, no, that's what it comes
right
down
there,
to.
That group right there.
We'll talk to Brandon Adams in the 1 o'clock hour today. Now, he wasn't there on Saturday because he's not a millionaire.
Yeah, it's not snootiness.
What's that?
A lot of snoots.
Yeah, rich people. Rich folks. Like, yeah, you got to be extremely rich. But Brandon Adams knows some of those people, so then they tell him what they see,
right.
And then Brandon reports on it,
which
is such a funny thing. It's like, yeah, you can come if you are X amount of a booster, but you don't have to not tell people. You can just tell everyone what you saw, and then you have to do it anonymously. You can't, like, do an interview and be like, yeah, I'm Chet Snodgrass the fourth.
Chet Snodgrass the fourth.
I think Chet Snodgrass is one of the big boosters.
It sounds like it probably is.
Yeah, he was on the Dog Nation Daily podcast with a voice changer, you know? No, he wasn't.
Oh, dude, you had me mad. I was like, what?
That's what I would do if I was one of those guys. Like, obviously, you can't go on because you get access taken away. But I'd just go anonymously with a voice changer, like from Scream, and do an interview on Brandon's podcast.
Oh, okay, I see.
And you ask me anything you want.
I doubt they.
And then I can't identify
myself. As much
money
as some of them folk giving up there, I doubt you'd be banned.
You wouldn't even be banned.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Yeah, you just go on there and say what you saw.
I really doubt
it. Now, you do have to take that person's word for it.
Right.
As if that person knows what they're watching.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, this player completed a pass to this player. I'll take you for that one. You start breaking down different formations and stuff like that.
Well,
keep that to yourself.
It looked like initially like he thought the safety was rolling over top. What'd you say, Thorsten?
All right, Thorsten.
What'd you say, Thorsten?
All right, Brenton.
Thorsten
that to
McSweeney?
Anyway, Brandon did get to talk to some of the rich folks that got to watch the scrimmage. A lot of hype about a lot of different players. So that we were talking to Rusty about that running back from California.
Yeah, that's the one I keep hearing about.
Everybody's
like,
going nuts about that kid.
Like, this guy is he's the real deal legit dude. But, I mean, yeah, I think it's going to be a fun college football year. We talked about it at the start of the show. Like, damn, it's right there.
Yeah, we're here.
It's right there, right around the corner. And obviously, it's going to be one of those years.
Cork and Kale's tomorrow.
Cork and Kale. I mean, it's going to be a crazy season because everything is so new. And all the newness, Andy, it's like right here. Everything as far as the new divisions, it's here.
Everything's different.
Yeah, man. Everything.
Except for the top five in the AP poll. Everything's different except for that. Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, Alabama.
Yeah.
It's the same teams as always.
Crazy.
Yeah. Some things change, some things don't. Mike Conti will join us next. Had a fun rumor about a former Atlanta United player. Did you guys talk about that yesterday on the radio?
Yeah, we did mention it.
Well, let's ask Mike about it. We'll get Mike's thoughts on potentially homecoming for one of our faves.
coming.
It might be a long shot, but whatever. It's worth talking about. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Tuesday morning. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. We'll get into a college football corner at 12:20 as well. Brandon Adams will join us at 1:20 as he always does on Tuesdays. We'll talk some Georgia football with him coming off of the scrimmage that they had on Saturday. Less than 3 weeks away from the opener, Randy.
Yeah, man. Got
Georgia and Clemson.
Them Tigers.
Right here.
Them Tigers from up. It's up. It's north of us. But, yeah, when I say up north, I mean, because I said that one day, look. Well, Clemson's not up north. I was like, north of here.
Yeah, well, no one's calling you a Yankee, Clemson fans. We wouldn't want to insult anybody.
Oh my God!
But it's north of here. You got to get on north on 85 to get there.
The Tigers.
You know the word north. It's got connotations, Randy.
Oh my God! Relax. It's been years. It's been hundreds of years. Relax. Goodness gracious. Yeah, I'm excited, man.
Me too.
I'm excited. College football. And I mean, it's going to be so many different scenarios, teams. And you remember, maybe about a month ago, we had a caller ask us about, you know, if you are, say, the 11th or 12th team, are the players going to stay? And I started thinking about that the other day. I was like, well, why wouldn't you? You would think, but now all of a sudden we don't know.
Yeah, but that why wouldn't you?
That why wouldn't you in college football nowadays? It just
doesn't apply to this generation the way that it may have applied to others.
It just doesn't.
Yeah.
It just doesn't, man.
Hey, you know, the other guy who's probably excited about college football, among other things, is Mike Conti. Let's get him in here.
It's time to check in with Atlanta United and Atlanta Hawks broadcaster Mike Conti.
Slides it forward, a shot, score!
Brought to you by Lindy and the Empower Home Team.
Number 9 in the AP poll. Got to feel pretty good about
number
that.
Number 8, actually. Don't mean to
number
nitpick.
8 in the AP poll.
I don't want to nitpick.
We already got the Big Ten button heads
fan.
Here.
I am not a Michigan fan. I am a Penn State alum. And,
sorry.
We got the Big Ten button heads in here.
The tears in my eyes from Washington not being in the top 25.
Washington wasn't in?
Mixed up my – oh, God. Oh,
I would be – I don't know if I'd put a bet on this.
App State got more votes than Washington did.
I would not be surprised if at the end of the regular season – Washington is ranked higher than Penn State. I would not be surprised.
What are you talking about, Mike?
Just
because he's in here, Penn State is. You think Penn State's going to be bad this year?
Have they made a coaching change that I'm not aware of?
But we did.
Did I miss the press release?
Unfortunately, we did. Our guy's down there in Tuscaloosa now. I've
been trying to keep tabs during this offseason.
A lot of other teams switch coaches, but you guys did not.
Well, this is do or die for him. I mean, he has to make the playoff, or I think he's going to be out.
You can't make the 12-team playoff.
Yeah. And the thing is, I think in the existence of the 4-team playoff, someone did the math, like Penn State would have made a 12-team playoff 5 or 6 times. Yeah. If it were 12 teams instead of 4. So we'll see. I hate having to open the season in Morgantown in that stupid Big Noon kickoff thing. I don't like that.
Right.
I want to open with, you know, a directional school or Bowling Green or, you know, ease into it. We'll see. I am very excited for this season, though. I think we all are. I think it's going to be just chaotic. And I think the recalibration of our expectations as fans is going to be fascinating to watch as the season goes along, because I don't think, I don't want to say we'll never see it again, but I think it's very, very difficult to expect that a team in the SEC or the Big Ten will ever go undefeated, given the quality of
week to week,
the gauntlet that, like, Georgia could have one of its best teams ever this year and go 11-1. And it could still be one of their best teams ever. You know, we talk about the recalibration of expectations. Penn State, we expect to go 10-2 because that's just what we do. We lose to Michigan and Ohio State and beat everyone else. Well, we don't play Michigan this year. But we do play at USC, and we play Washington, and we play UCLA. And, like, there's just going to be, I think, this recalibration where it's not going to be do or die to win every game. And I'll be very curious to see how fans of successful programs like Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State are going to react to that first loss.
Right.
Are they going to treat it like the world has come to an end?
They are.
But it's not. It's not anymore.
Yeah. That muscle memory is going to take a while.
Yeah, you know? I know. This is truly going to be a new way of thinking for us, and it's going to take a little while to adjust.
We adapt. Sports fans adapt.
That's true.
They adapt.
We're resilient. We're like
relatively quickly.
Yeah, we're like dogs and kids.
That's one thing that won't, I mean, Georgia fans, whenever it happens, Ohio State, whatever, Alabama, whenever that first one comes, the world will be ending.
Yeah.
Just like it always is. You'd be like, oh, right. No. There's 12 teams now.
From, I think, Pollock yesterday. Someone, it might have been Pollock, someone said, oh, it's good that Georgia's number one, but there's no way they're going to get through this season without a loss. And some people were kind of jumping on that. That's not an incorrect take. Like, it's going to be very, very difficult.
Because he's a dog, and that's why. I guess. I'm with you. I mean, you look at where they're going this year.
Yeah.
You know, they got to go to Texas. They got to go to
Alabama.
And Ole Miss. Now, I sit there and say, well, they got to play Georgia, too. You know, exactly. And that's how I view it and everything. But if something goes wrong this year as far as this whole new structure and everything, Mike, what do you think would it be?
I could see an undefeated Big 12 team or an undefeated ACC team disrupting the seedings somehow. Where, okay, let's say Georgia goes 12-1, win the SEC championship, but they don't get the number one seed because Notre Dame didn't have to play a conference championship game, or Florida State or Utah ends up running the table and gets a more favorable seed. That's where I think it could kind of fall off the tracks a little bit. Or another way this could happen, what if you restrict the Big Ten to only two or three berths to accommodate an extra berth for a Big Ten or a Big 12 or an ACC team? Because I just don't think you're playing in comparable pools right now. Right. I'm sorry. No disrespect to Clemson and Florida State and Georgia Tech and fans of the Atlantic Coast Conference. You're not playing the same caliber of schedule week in and week out as you are in the SEC and the Big Ten. It cannot be compared. So that's where I'm going to struggle. Like, what if you get to a point where Oregon is sitting there at 10-2 and didn't make the Big Ten championship? Maybe they just missed. And Florida State sitting there at 11-1, I don't know if the schedules are necessarily comparable. And how is the committee going to wrestle with that? That's where it could spin off. It's weird. It's almost like you have, and I don't want to demean the Big 12 and ECC, but it's almost like you have AAA teams that are competing against major league teams, and they're all going to be in the playoffs together.
Right.
And I hate to – I don't like saying that.
No, but I know what you're saying. It's also not – that's not new. You know what I mean? Like the way that the non-SEC, non-Big Ten playoff contenders have already been viewed that way.
True.
But now it's harder because there's going to be more SEC and Big Ten teams that are available for the playoff spot. Like before, you were just like, all right, they played in the SEC and they had this record. Well, they're in, obviously.
Yes.
Now, you're going to have SEC teams that played the hardest schedule in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can come out of that schedule 10-3 or 11-2 or whatever, like your strength of schedule, like it's going to be harder on the committee to be parsing strength of schedules when it comes time to get to the playoff than it ever has before.
Yeah.
Because the difference between like the second hardest SEC schedule and the hardest Big 12 schedule is a pretty big gap.
And here's where the recalibration will come in, too. Because I think perceptually, a lot of people who listen to us would feel that, oh, you know, you go 10-2 in the Big Ten, that shouldn't guarantee anything. Well, now it does.
Yeah, that's for sure. It does.
Yeah, you cannot assail the strength of the Big Ten conference anymore. I know that's been the trendy thing to do, and to put New Year's Six bowl game results up there in a bulletin board. No one cares about the New Year's Six apparently anymore. There's opt outs in those games. That's where I think a lot of people listening to this show, quite frankly, are going to have to recalibrate. It's going to be very, very respectable if an Iowa or a Wisconsin or a Washington goes 10-3 with this, or 9-3, I guess, in the regular season with the schedule that they play. that's probably going to be enough to get you in the playoffs this year.
At least in the conversation.
At least in the conversation. Yeah. Absolutely. But I think there's going to be this snap judgment among SEC fans. Well, no, they play in the Big Ten. No, no. It's not the same anymore.
Right.
It's a totally different conference. I can't wait. It's going to be a very, very weird, bizarre, interesting, but I think very fun year.
Mike, what do you think about the first preseason game of the Falcons outside of the injuries and everything like that? It's hard to judge because the big dudes didn't play.
Yeah, really hard to judge. Hate the injuries. I do think the injuries could have happened on the practice field just as easily as in a preseason game. So I hate to make this an indictment of if we're playing too many preseason games or not. I don't think that's fair. These are football accidents. Very, very little, I think, to take out of it other than I like the way Penix threw it.
Right.
Penix made NFL throws, so that's a good sign. I thought Raheem made a good point. He had a really good throw that resulted in a fumble. That's not Penix's fault. So just on that very small sample against primarily second-teamers for Miami, you feel, I guess, decent about where Penix would be right now as far as his schedule is concerned. But I don't know. It's so tough. Like, I would imagine there was probably more that could have been gleaned from the joint practices than from the actual game. And unfortunately, we didn't get to see all the joint practices. So, not to say, though, that the preseason games are not enormously entertaining and informative. And preseason game number two between Atlanta and Baltimore, 12 noon Saturday here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Not only that, you should be listening to it.
100%.
Is exactly what you should be doing.
Yes, yes.
You and all your friends, but on different apps.
Preferably on multiple
different
apps.
Different radios.
We would appreciate that.
Hey, if there's any truth to the rumor that Miguel Almirón is being courted by Charlotte, what can we do to save him from having that happen?
Pray. I would hate to see that. Oh, that.
Nobody wants to live there.
No.
Willie P does not deserve that.
He really doesn't.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how much truth there is behind that. It was reported by a pretty good source, but that source also made it sound like it was kind of a pipe dream. There are certain clubs that just throw offers left and right to see what sticks, and I don't know if this is one of those cases or not. I would say, though, that would be very, very hard to stomach.
Like, Joseph playing for Miami wasn't super fun.
No, but that was a little bit different.
It was a little different. He was older,
like,
and hurt.
Miggy is still in his prime, and it's been a tough year. That would be really, really hard to stomach if that ended up happening.
Let's not let it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how we can stop it, though. Ban air travel between England and North Carolina. I don't know.
Make somebody.
Make a, because he's a prime age player, right?
Yeah.
He fits Garth Lagerwey's standard. Bring him. That'd be fun. Homecoming? All right. Thank you, Mike.
I got it. Appreciate
you, Mike.
We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL No Huddle. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.